90.1 FM.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's the theme song. So hello and welcome back to the Chico Creates podcast, where we interview artists, musicians, and makers from here in Chico, California. I am your host, Kira Barsotti, and with me today is Pat Hole. Hi.
Hello.
So Pat is a singer-songwriter from Connecticut, currently based out of Northern California. His music intertwines a melodic, soulful, countertenor vocal range with a unique finger-picking style, creating a dreamy landscape with unpredictable hooks and turns. He's set to release his ninth studio album this year, titled Et Al, produced by Chris Lynch. This release, as well as his back catalog, showcase layered compositions, songs written for piano, and rich vocal harmonies. Hello.
I didn't write that
again
about myself.
Someone else wrote that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful description.
It's a little dated too, because I already released that album. So I'm actually on the 10th. I sent you a dated bio.
That's okay. Well, now I ask you, tell us a little bit about yourself beyond the bio, so you can make any corrections you want now.
Okay, cool. And is that the question? Should I go?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, tell us about yourself.
Oh gosh, tell you about myself.
Yeah, 10th album. Talk about that.
Should I go into the artist
world? Sure, okay. Yeah. I mean, we can bounce around.
Well, that's really fun because I made this record in Portland, finished.
Cool.
And I made it with my friends Mark Robertson, Bob Reynolds, who I first started playing with in Chico. So it's a very full circle moment where I made my first record with them.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's cool.
And then
cool.
They moved to Portland and I did a bunch of other stuff, and then Mark was saying he built this studio, he makes microphones, and he has this setup in Corbett, which is right outside of Portland. And I went up there for a few days and we just sat and recorded everything, and we rekindled the magic. It always feels really organic working with them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And just to be able to collaborate still with the people you started with 15, 20 years ago is pretty rare.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It feels special.
That's awesome.
And I
awesome.
Feel like some of that shines through with the recording. It's just our friendship and collaboration
right.
over time is densely put into the music, you know.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's this album called?
Madrone.
Okay. Cool.
Madrone.
And when will it be out?
That's a great question. I think next year, spring.
Okay.
That's the goal. Yeah.
Awesome. Well,
yeah.
So to front load with the announcement.
I started with,
that's really cool, though.
Yeah. I don't know, listening back to some of it, it's just, it brings back a lot of memories of when I first played in Chico, and the process when we first started is the same as it is now.
Yeah.
in terms of how we collaborated and the way that we go about music.
The
end product is different and the music sounds different, but the process is still very organic between us. So
yeah. That's neat.
Yeah.
And like, it feels like, I don't know, I feel like as we get older, we kind of go back to the things that first, you know, spark.
Right.
And like, I don't know, I at one point decided that dragons were not cool to paint anymore, you know, as an example.
Right, like, right. And then you came full
and then
circle.
You came, yeah, it. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, doodling in my sketchbook and a little like ant guy shows up and, you know, so, you know, the process, like those things are deeply embedded in us, and it's cool to be able to rekindle that with all the experience that you're bringing to it now.
Right. Yeah, that's well put. I think over the 15 years since we first met, there's been a lot of evolution with what we've learned with our instruments and how we create music.
Mm-hmm.
But the initial feeling and excitement of collaborating is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what felt so good about making this, is the process was was actually fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not always the case. Sometimes you're working on creating this product that exemplifies this intention of what you want to create. And this was more about the initial feeling that drove us to play in the first place.
Yeah.
And when you're creating from that space, there's nothing that can go wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the key part is, like, are you having fun with it? You know, because to use my dragon example, like I drew a lot of dragons because it was fun, and I drew a lot of animals, and I made maps, and, like, you know, was very, I just did what felt good. And then at one point I felt like I needed to do the serious work.
Yeah.
You know, and I got burnt out, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. To go back to the space where you were driven to it without thinking about being driven to it.
Right.
That's the zone.
Yeah.
And then you go off and you try to hone your craft, which everyone should. Mm-hmm. And then there starts to put some effort. You have your hands on the steering wheel more.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be able to come back to that first initial reason, I think is the ideal cycle of creation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because then you're able to bring, like, this is the whole, like, you're supposed to learn the rules in order to break them kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, so there definitely is something to be said for getting your technical skill down.
Absolutely.
So that you can, you know, take that spirit and then create something really, really magical. So,
yeah, exactly. And so Mark, he's the producer and the engineer for this, and part of his craft was learning how to weld and solder and make microphones. He built a whole studio and honed the craft of recording and engineering as well as being a musician.
Mm-hmm.
And so each of us went on that path.
Mm-hmm.
And to come back with that honed skill and to collaborate and then go back to the initial space of creation for creation's sake.
Right.
What a gift.
It's
just like, oh man.
Yeah.
It felt so good to complete something like that, knowing the process was coming from that spot.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and just collaboration in general is a miracle.
It is.
The idea that you can all, with all of your baggage, come into a room with your stuff and somehow meld what you perceive to be the right creative choices and
together. Yeah.
It's a miracle that there can be this sameness this is it.
Mm-hmm.
When there's so much background noise that you're bringing to every decision.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to do that with people and know that it feels right is rare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it can feel wrong, like any relationship. You just, this feels wrong. Mm-hmm. We're both coming from spaces and bring to the table something that's not meshing.
Yeah.
Which is so easy to do. So when you find it, you're like, oh, this is, you're fortunate if you can find that.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I think I feel like musicians, I mean, there's a lot of solo musicians. There's a lot of solo musicians.
Yeah.
But those that, like, collaborate in bands and things, I feel like you see that a lot more frequently than in visual arts. And as a visual artist, you know, there's a lot of isolation involved.
Yeah.
There isn't a lot of that collaboration. I think the most common collaboration you see is, like, let's get together and curate a show, you know, where it's like, this is my work, it fits with your work, but we're doing our own thing, you know? So
I can't even imagine, as a visual artist, you draw half something, you're like, can you just come in on the second half?
Right. I mean, it's what people do with comics traditionally.
Yeah.
You know, was someone sketched, someone inked, someone did the lettering, someone wrote the thing, you know. So that I think is a good example of collaboration. But I'm trying to think of, like, some kind of, I don't know if there's really a parallel for that, which is interesting.
Well, I can only make the parallel as a solo artist when I do write by myself, is that you're collaborating with the people in your mind.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you're collaborating.
We all
with
contain
all,
multitudes, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so there's that internal collaboration that's very intense. But when you collaborate with others, you're bringing the collaboration in your minds to
everyone else's,
and then it's a double collaboration.
Right.
It's like Which even further emphasizes the point that it's a miracle that it works.
Right. Yeah. Totally. I mean, that, yeah, reminds me of, it's a miracle any of us is here, you know? Yeah. Like, for everything to come together in the womb and create a functional human is amazing.
Right.
So, you know, giving birth creatively is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about you in Chico. So you came from Connecticut. How did you end up in Chico?
My cousins live here, and there's so many factors that brought me here that... So I went to school in New York.
And you've kind of come and gone, right? Back to Chico? Or
yeah, I've been pretty steady here the last 10 years.
Okay.
But when I first moved here, I graduated in New York, and my advisor was from California. And he said, you got to look in California. They have some of the best communication schools. So it was academic reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at San Diego State and then Chico, and my cousins live here. Who all have families in mm-hmm. town. And they were pushing for me to come here. One of my cousin's neighbors was in the communication department, and I got on a phone call with her. I was really persuaded, and I applied to the grad program. I got a teaching assistantship, so that's what sold it. And I was like, I'm coming out.
Yeah.
So I started teaching, I graduated, and that's when I started collaborating musically with people in town.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That's specifically where I met Mark and Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
While I was in grad school.
Yeah.
And that was 2007.
Yeah. Wow. A long time ago.
Yeah.
Well, cool. And so what, now that you've been here, you said over a decade.
Yeah. Consistently.
Yeah, yeah. And, but like you were in Santa Cruz for a little bit.
I was in Santa Cruz for a year.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And I taught
at the crossed paths
school.
There.
Right.
We were in Santa Cruz for a little bit, so yeah.
And I had some fun collaborations there, too. Great musicians mm-hmm. in Santa Cruz. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was great. It was a little love affair with Santa mm-hmm. Cruz.
Yeah.
It was beautiful, but also unsustainable. In
oh,
terms
my God,
of
yeah.
Just money and being able yeah. to... And there was no opportunities to teach there, which is definitely another part of my... creative side is, and it's teaching's performative in many
mm-hmm.
ways, so.
Yeah,
and feeds me and
okay,
something
yeah.
that feels natural for me to be doing, and that I couldn't find that in Santa Cruz.
Yeah,
so
that's cool to hear about teaching, because like there's often the like those who can't do teach, which is really like a negative view of artists who teach, but it sounds like it's really part of who you are is being a teacher.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even explain how rejuvenating teaching is. And there's just not many contexts where we can all go into a space and it's collaboration again,
mm-hmm.
where 30 students and myself as facilitator get to for an hour hyper-focus on theories and concepts that are a part of our lives, whether we've neglected to see it or not. Specifically for me is small group communication, which is health and family systems, internal family systems, nonviolent communication. So we get to process
mm-hmm.
all these theories and how they've impacted our lives. And nowhere can we all get together and do that without this specific scenario,
yeah.
right?
That's true.
And so what an opportunity. Three times a week, we get to sit in this class and do this together. And so it's a real opportunity, and I don't take it for granted that's a sacred time.
Mm-hmm.
And I give everything to that job because I think I've walked away, at least as a student, when there's a teacher that authentically knew that it was a spiritual practice to teach.
Right.
And it didn't matter what the subject was. It
yeah.
was Paul Stamets said, I'm a sucker for an enthusiast, I think.
Mm-hmm,
it doesn't matter. It could be about anything. As long as that person is enthused, I will share that. It's
yeah.
totally magnetic. So, and that's another big thing is I care about the material.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't fake it. I love it. And I hope students get that from me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have like a favorite local spot or place to hang out here in Chico? a place to...
I've been very introverted these days, uh-huh. So I was going to say my house.
Most of us, honestly.
Yeah, my house. There's a local spot, though. Let's see. I do like being outside, you know, so I would say, honestly, the plaza, mm-hmm. just going downtown, going by the river at Chico State and just sitting. There's a lot of spots where I try to find little nooks to be alone. The older I get, the more I need to be alone to recalibrate. Mm-hmm. And so I don't necessarily like to go find a spot where it's loud, because mm-hmm. It's already loud.
Yeah.
It's already so loud.
Yeah.
So I don't want to find, that's not my, I don't go out there to find that.
Right.
And I've noticed a lot of my mental health is better for that, is realizing, checking in with myself and knowing that that's what I need is, mm-hmm. is not more distraction.
Right.
Is more internal silence.
Like, yeah, time to process the distractions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. And so you went to school for communications.
Yes.
And so how did you get into music? Has that always been a part of your life and growing up? And
yeah. Music is one of the mediums, you know, mm-hmm. that I see it just as the same way that my son just asked me this the other day. What was your favorite year of school?
Mm-hmm. I love that question.
Oh, he asked the best question.
I should ask him for interview questions.
Oh, kid interviews. They're gold. So yeah, I have so many good questions that he asked me. I was driving, when is the apocalypse gonna come, Dad?
It's a good question.
On the way to school.
Yeah.
Like a minute before I dropped him off, he needed that answer. I was like, soon, son. Have a good day. And so he asked me that question. I thought about it. Junior year of college. I'm digressing, but I will get to your initial question.
Yeah.
And that was when I knew that learning was my connective point to the human experience. That was, and I was like, oh, I'm not letting that go. This is, my brain was on fire. And everyone has those moments where that something clicks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And music was that way for me too. And that was somewhat around that same year too, where I was looping guitar patterns, and I remember the scene vividly, and everyone was going out to party or whatever, and I decided not to, which was rare at the time for me. And I just stayed looping these patterns, and I thought, this is worthwhile. Uh-huh. And so that was another medium of choice, was playing music. And since then, luckily, piano and guitar have been that way, where I can loop it and find this kind of trance-like, worthwhile zone that I'm able to, that gets rid of all the muck, mm-hmm. and I'm able to feel the human experience palpably, which
yeah.
I think we're fortunate if we're able to find that medium, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So teaching is one, and music is one too. But sometimes I'm sure you, as a visual artist, experience that where you don't paint or draw, and it's not the medium for whatever that 6 months or mm-hmm, the year, mm-hmm. and it'll come back, or maybe it won't, mm-hmm. and maybe there'll be some other medium.
Yeah,
you know, parenting is a medium for me too.
Yeah,
where I won't touch music, or you know, it's just I don't gravitate to it. But
mm-hmm. I like that kind of reframe of where you're putting your energy.
Yeah,
you know, because we can't, like, I'm a new parent, and I have a day job. Thank you. Yeah, he's 9 months, and he's currently fighting all his naps, and it's a blast.
Yeah.
And I have a day job, and I have an art practice, and now I'm doing this podcast. Like, there's a lot. And, like, seasons of life and putting your energy into things, like, it is okay to step away from certain things. If they become burdens, you know?
Yeah.
And in 2020, I switched completely to knitting. Like, that was my happy place, was knitting from painting or anything. And yeah, so I really like, because there's a lot of guilt associated with not doing your creative practice, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah, and I think that question of where that comes from is an important one to mm-hmm. answer for all of us.
Yeah.
You know, why do I feel that the... Because what creative endeavor is worth it if you're pressured?
Exactly.
If you're pressuring yourself to stick with it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've your story reminded me of my wife who's a jeweler, but then we have two children together, and she moved on to beading mm-hmm. and sewing,
mm-hmm.
right? And I watch her. She's so satiated by those things.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to shift and not even consciously step away, it feels like, especially for her, and on good days for me too, I'm not saying I need to step away. It's just you've stepped away.
Right,
because other
right.
things are calling you to,
yeah.
calling your attention.
Mm-hmm. And
to
babies,
go there.
Babies have a very strong, loud call.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's like, that's what's drawing me.
Yep.
And that's mm-hmm. where I need to go.
Yeah.
And that's where I'll go. Done.
Yep. Yeah.
And as you know, too, that energy is cyclical, so... It'll when the calling to create comes back around, you'll get fed from all the stuff that you just did with parenting
yeah.
and everything else. It'll go right into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a like excellent reframe for everybody, all
it's,
humans.
It's that balance, yeah,
yeah.
Well, that you know that I was really moved by the Lauryn Hill speech when she was being pressured about when her next album was coming out, and she was saying, "Where do you think these albums come from?"
Yeah.
I'm living my life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's where the first album came from. And I'm living my life. And the next album will come when there's stuff that's worth singing about.
Yeah.
You can't just make stuff out of nothing.
Yeah.
You need the raw material of living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So what does music look like in your life today, you know?
It's pretty minimal, as you know,
right.
The nap schedule. I'm
yeah
dinkly playing piano uh-huh. key, like putting my ear to it, saying, is that the one?
Uh-huh. During naps, yeah.
Yeah, there's no more bombastic
mm-hmm.
things happening. It's light.
Right.
Or it's pseudo playing where I'm tinkering, but then a baby comes and grabs the guitar
mm-hmm.
and then I say, oh, right, you can, I put it down and then they all step on it and
mm-hmm.
crack the wood. And
mm-hmm.
then, so it's, there's no continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And so this last album, I had this brain bleed that I can talk about for sure. If you want,
yeah,
if you
yeah.
want to go there,
I would
or we
love
just leave
to...
it at that. I had a brain bleed. No. That's enough. And then afterward, I had some time to heal. And,
right.
And I, all of those songs are from that time of healing. And
okay,
they all
cool.
were just like, came out really quickly. And
yeah.
And so that was, but since then, it's funny, then we recorded it and I haven't been playing very much. And
yeah.
it's hard to practice with kids. But luckily, I find these kind of, these purges of creativity in big chunks of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that allowed me to do it when I was healing.
Mm-hmm.
But then school started, and so I'm
right.
kind of back in the swing of things and not touching instruments or singing very
yeah.
much.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's touch on the brain bleed.
Let's do it.
That happened last summer?
Yeah, last
yeah.
summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what, like, I remember when, like, the GoFundMe came out and, like, you know, everyone was talking about this, like, potentially horrible thing happening. Like, so
yeah.
tell us what happened.
Yeah. Well, I was
like, obviously you're fine. So for the most part.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So I was playing soccer and I felt this pop in the back of my neck, and I thought,
trigger warning for anyone who doesn't like, my husband hates brain stuff, so trigger warning for my husband. Okay,
there
continue.
Will be brains discussed in the next 5 minutes. And yeah, it was 106 degrees.
Oh god.
It
yeah
was,
yeah
this
right
soccer league, and so, and it's kind of aggressive.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, maybe I bumped into someone. And then I went out and then I started getting nauseous, and I drove home, and it started getting worse and worse. And I got home, I said, oh wow, something's not right. And so I drove myself to the ER. And there's so many stories within this story, so I'll try to pare it down. But they ended up thinking it was something else because, I don't know, they had maybe had this perceived notion that I'm young and that this couldn't be that grave, must be heat exhaustion, that kind of thing. So I was sent home and I didn't sleep, obviously. They said if I would have fallen asleep, I would have died.
Yeah, similar to a concussion kind of.
Yeah. So I was just rolling, just writhing on the couch.
Yeah, trying to stay awake. Yeah,
and then my family woke up and saw me, and I was like, I need to go back to the hospital now. And so I went back, and then there was a new doctor who was, something's wrong.
Took it
and
seriously.
Actually, one of my old students was a nurse when I went back in. I was like, I know you from somewhere. And then they said, you know, you might not make it. You might have to call your family. Like, this is bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then they got on a helicopter and spent 2 weeks in the ICU in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And my wife was 9 months pregnant.
Right.
So we had to get a midwife in San Francisco while I was in the ICU in case she went to labor.
Yeah.
Which she didn't. And then I got home, and our daughter was born in our house.
Wow.
A week later.
Yeah. I remember those posts on Facebook. Yeah, just like, what a roller coaster. My God. And wow. And now you have two children. You're recovering from a brain bleed. And one of them is fresh.
Yeah.
It's crazy time.
Yeah, and that was in June of last summer. And then 2 months later, I go back to work.
Yeah. Wow.
Which was a question for me. Do I want to go back to work? I mean, obviously, they would have understood if I didn't. But I did want to develop some routine and normalcy back into my life. So.
Yeah, for sure.
So I went back. And the first couple months were rough. Memory lapses and just overall aches and dizziness and nausea. But then there was a moment where it stopped. And there were no symptoms at all.
Wow.
And it's been that way ever since.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, it was.
Oh my goodness.
And I don't have a real explanation for why. You know, they said it was it wasn't an aneurysm.
Right.
A congenital weak vein in my brain that popped.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird. Weird.
Yes. Just there you go.
Yeah.
The fragility of it all.
I know.
Came out the other side. So.
Jeez. Wow. And so out of that came this new album, though.
I'm very thankful for that stroke for giving me this record.
I mean, isn't that how it all works?
Just thinking too, because the power of words is stroke versus brain bleed. I always choose brain bleed because something about stroke makes it seem
more
intense, or that I had a brain bleed.
Yeah,
and there's at the hospital, like, anytime there's blood on the brain, it's called a stroke. I was like, that's a brain bleed, actually. We're just gonna call it a brain. Well,
there's definitely association with like being of a certain age before you can call it a stroke,
right? Yeah, exactly. It was like, I'm 38, had a stroke. You had a stroke?
Right.
38?
Right.
It was a brain bleed, technically.
Yeah, that makes it easier to explain.
Yeah. But yes, there's just so much to process that from that experience. And
yeah.
The medium that tends to find me when I'm processing deep stuff is music.
So we do have to wrap it up, unfortunately. Please do, if you like the show, like, subscribe, and donate. We are accepting donations to keep this thing rolling, monthly or one-off. Whatever you want to give would be awesome. So thank you so much for watching or listening, and we will see you around town.